The following message was given by Brother Minoru Chen in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, June 2, 2019. The title of the message is Seeing Our Need for Both Walls and Gates as Revealed in the Sign of the New Jerusalem. Scripture reading, Revelation chapter 21, verses 12 through 13, 18, 21, and 25. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14.
This morning, I thought to share something that is a kind of a burden within me for some time in recent days. And as you can see in this outline, the gates of the New Jerusalem. Now, when we talk about the New Jerusalem, I think we all should by now have a proper understanding of this this holy city, that according to the book of Revelation, where you will find the New Jerusalem at the end, of course, that like all the other things in this book of Revelation, it is a sign. New Jerusalem, as opposed to the general belief of Christians and even some non-Christians, it is some kind of a heavenly place, a physical city of some kind, very glorious, very beautiful, huge, that will be there somehow for eternity as a blessed place for those who are the Lord's believers, those who are saved people, to one day go there as a kind of a eternal resting place or something. And that is wrong. That is a wrong understanding. All these things that you find in the book of Revelation are signs, and so the New Jerusalem is no different, and it should be interpreted as such. For example, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, you have the golden lampstands, am I right?
Amen.
Now, I think you would all agree, and those golden lampstands eventually are interpreted by by John himself, that they are just the churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor. And so one would not say that these are physical lampstands, right? Some kind of a, you know, like this, you know, I always say that my name is Minoru, and in Hebrew, the word lampstand is menorah. So just a couple of alphabet or vowel changes, and I would become a lampstand, right? Anyway, it's not a physical kind of a lampstand standing there. It is a sign of a local church or of local churches, these lampstands. And so, you know, the same thing about, you find the Lamb of God throughout this book. And clearly those are not just, that is not a lamb, right? A little lamb here with a little tail, whatever it is. No, that Lamb of God is simply the redeeming Christ, our Savior, right? And so on and so forth. So to be consistent with that principle of interpretation, this holy city is not a physical place that we would hope one day to go to call heaven. It is a what? It is a sign. It is a symbol. It is a picture. It signifies something. It has spiritual significances. So this New Jerusalem is, rather than a physical place, It is the result, the product, a structure, because it's a city, of the consummate work of God from eternity to eternity in this universe. What is that consummate product? What is that eternal structure? It is simply a building. A building. A building of what? Of the triune God with the tripartite man. Now, of course, that is a heavy-duty statement that takes the whole Bible to interpret. And this morning, we don't have that kind of a time. But just keep in mind that this is not a physical object. It is a what? It is a building together. It is a mingling. It is a blending. It is a joining of what? Of God with man. God is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And if we take time, and it will take many, many messages to interpret this city, you will find the Father there, who is really represented by the goal. You have a golden, this city is actually on a golden mountain, and with a golden street, and so on and so forth. That gold, which is an essential element of this city, refers to the divine nature of the Father. So the Father is here, all right? And then you have the Son. You have the tree of life, am I right? That is clearly the Son of God. You have, this morning, we're going to talk about this, gates, the pearl. There's a pearl gate. I mean, I have not seen a gate that is pearl yet, ever. And how can a round pearl be a gate? I don't know. But so you see, it is the spiritual significance that we must grasp in order to fully appreciate what this sign is all about and what God wants to reveal to us, something that is in His heart to gain in the eternity future. So the Son is here, then the Spirit is here. You say, where's the Spirit? You have the river of the water of life, right? Clear as crystal. That river, that flowing is, signifies the Holy Spirit, the third of the divine Trinity. So you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Spirit, you have the divine Trinity, but not only in a static way, but in a or essential way, but also in an economical way. That means the triune God who has been what? Who has been processed, who have gone through different stages. The Father who has come in the Son to be among men in time and in space, to accomplish redemption, to be in resurrection, right? And I didn't mention, of course, the incarnation and the human living. All of this signifies what? The real process and consummated triune God. I think we in the Lord's recovery should be clear about that. Then, on the other hand, this process and consummated triune God, He went through all these steps and all these processes with one goal, with one objective in view, and that is He can enter into the very man that He has created. Actually, the man that He has known, foreknown in eternity past, the very man that He has chosen. When I say man, I mean this collective man, this corporate man, that is an aggregate, what? That comprise all of us, the saved ones, the believers. So we are the chosen ones. We are the saved ones by virtue of His redemption. So we are the redeemed elect. But not only were we redeemed, praise the Lord, we were regenerated. This morning we will see that the reason for this pearl as a symbol of the gate means regeneration is our way into this city. The Lord says, what? Unless you are born again, you cannot enter. You cannot get through those gates into the kingdom of God, which is this holy city. So we have here us, the no longer just the fallen men, but truly those who have been elected or chosen and redeemed and regenerated. But it doesn't even stop there, because regeneration is just the very first step of God's salvation by life. We're saved not by only redemption, we're saved actually by life. Much more. Amen. We will be saved in his life. Am I right?
Amen.
Romans tells us that. And so this organic salvation, what we call, starts with regeneration and it goes through into what? Sanctification. It includes our renewal. It includes our transformation. And eventually it includes our what? Confirmation to the very image of Christ, and ultimately our glorification. So you have here this, not only the tripartite man, but actually the very redeemed, regenerated, transformed, and glorified tripartite man. And all this, of course, is based on the work of the divine life of this triune God, which is actually this very triune God himself, reaching us, coming to us as life and life supply, rendering us this organic salvation. So here, this city is not a physical city. It is a blending, a building of this God with this man. And it is a complicated process. It is a long process that is depicted actually in the whole Bible. The Old Testament being the picture, the New Testament being the reality. It takes the whole Bible to gain this New Jerusalem. So the New Jerusalem, you know, like I think some of you are like me. When I buy a book, I always want to go to the last page or the last chapter, because I want to know what's the end. You get the end, you know what this story is about. So you come to the last page, you come to the last chapters of the Bible, you will find this end here. And this is what God's plan, this is what God's purpose, this is what God's economy seeks to gain. Isn't this wonderful? I hope that we will actually spend much time. Actually, our dear brother Lee charged us that we would really get to know, study, and get to know this New Jerusalem, because today we're becoming it. And he said this further. He said in the last years of his life, today, what are we doing on the earth with this view? We have no other goal. We have no other destination. We have no other destiny but this wonderful holy city, the New Jerusalem. So today, there's only one thing for us to do in our lives, in our Christian life, in our church life, and that is to what? That is to live out this New Jerusalem, and to work out this New Jerusalem, and in so doing, we become this New Jerusalem. So today, brothers and sisters, our Christian life, our church life, is our becoming this holy city. Day after day, as we experience Christ, as we enjoy the church life, we're here becoming this structure, becoming this city. All this, of course, is for God's satisfaction and the fulfillment of the Son's heart's desire. Now, This morning, that is just a kind of introduction. I just have some burden to share with you on one particular aspect of this city, and that would be the gates. That's my burden in recent times. We have to actually study all the aspects of this city to fully understand and appreciate the New Jerusalem. But I have the burden in these days to get into the matter of the gates. So as you can see here in your outline, it's message one, meaning even to study the gates, you need quite some time to get through it and really get into it thoroughly. But this is okay. This is good. This morning, I just want to open the matter up, and hopefully that we can really get into this matter. Now, there's another word that our brother Lee used, and actually it's a deep burden in his heart, and that is the word application. Application. So all these things in the New Jerusalem, point by point, item by item, aspect by aspect, are things that we should apply today. We should see it, we should understand these things, these rich truths that are embodied in the New Jerusalem, but not only so, brothers and sisters, we need to apply them. In other words, we need to experience them. This has to become ours. Just to appreciate it, just to understand, just to know is good, but it is not enough. You know, recently we just had the Seattle Conference, Memorial Day. It is on the experience of Christ. It's all about experience. Our knowing Him even, our excellent knowledge of this Christ should be subjective, should be experiential, should be applicational. So my burden is to apply the gates to our experience in our Christian life and church life today. Okay, so maybe we can just use this outline. I may wander off, I may not finish it, it does not matter. The main thing is that the burden is discharged. Okay, so in this New Jerusalem, you know the New Jerusalem is a four-square city. Actually, it's a cubic city. You will never find a city like this. You know, even with New York City, you know, this one of the greatest city on this earth, it is not cubic at all. Only God can build a cubic city, right? And that means all three dimensions are the same. Its length, its width, its breadth are all the same. And it is huge, you know, it is 12,000 stadia per direction. And that roughly translates into how many miles? Huh? 1,500 or 1,600 miles, okay? Roughly, you know, I don't know here, I know LA, roughly from LA to Dallas, all right? Something like that, you know? So that's how tall that city is. It's how wide it is, and that's how long it is. And so it's a huge city. It's a great city, and it has high walls. Well, I mean, if you consider the height, the walls, that's 1,500 miles tall of a wall. Okay, you just bear that in mind. I read recently a lot of people die climbing the Mount Everest. You know how tall is Mount Everest? Something like 36,000 feet. That translates into about 5 or 6 miles. I mean, that's the highest peak on Earth, highest peak. It's 5 or 6 miles. This thing is 1,500 1,500 or 1,600 miles. So no one can climb this wall. No one can climb this wall. It's tall, it's high. All right, let's take a look at what it says here. It says, this city has, it's great and has a great and high wall and had 12 gates. I mean, brothers and sisters, even without going any further, aren't you thankful this city has gates? Because you'll never get in. Like I say, you can never climb that wall. I mean, I don't care what oxygen you... A lot of these people die because they ran out of oxygen after five or six miles. This is 1,600 miles. I don't know how much oxygen you need. You will never even reach there. And by the way, even if you reach the top, you cannot get in. We shall find out why. All right? Praise the Lord for the gates. This is a city, not a wall, just of walls. The walls makes this city beautiful. You know, in Psalms you'll find beautiful are the gates of the city of God. So, the walls, it's great. But the gates are beautiful. The gates are beautiful. Okay, A, the wall of the New Jerusalem is for separation and protection. Now I just want you to, don't look at the outline, just look at me, okay? So I want to tell you in very brief way, what are the walls for? I need to talk about the walls first because the gates are in the walls, all right? So very briefly, walls, you know, in the old days, you know, they have these wall cities. I recently was in Italy, I went into these wall towns. It's huge, big walls. It's huge walls, and people all live inside these walls in this city. So what are the wall? What is a wall for? And I would like to say it's for three things. Here two things are mentioned. Number one, it is for separation. Clearly, a wall is to separate what is outside and what is inside. And if you even study the New Jerusalem, you will find out that is exactly what the wall is doing. It is to keep the things outside, outside. And it is to keep the things inside, inside. It is a separation. It separates what is common and what is uncommon. It separates everything that is not God with everything that has to do with God and his interest in the city, in the city. So the wall is for separation, and wall is necessary. With this holy God, there needs to be a separation. The other word for separation you can say is sanctification. A wall is needed to sanctify God, the holy God. God is sanctified by a wall, by a huge barrier that separates himself in his holiness from everything that is unholy and common. So today, we have such a wall, and we need to experience such a wall. Of course, by the way, all the things in this New Jerusalem are just Christ himself. Christ is really that wall. Okay, so number one, it's to separate. Number two, it is for protection. You know, these old wall cities, they have these walls that are high, you know, they have these bulwarks, they have these, what is the name up there? Huh? You know, where they shoot the arrows or whatever they do. you have the Great Wall in China, you know, to wall out all the barbarians, remember, right? It is to protect, on the other hand, the city. Protect the city and those who are in the city. What is in the city of the New Jerusalem, or the city of God? What is in this city? All the what? All the riches of God's divine interests. All, it is God Himself. It is all the riches of God. It is all the riches of Christ. It has all the things that are sacred, that are rich, that are of God. To come into this city actually is to come into God. All of His attributes. You know, this morning we sang the last song to in praise of the Father. We praise the Father for His holy faithfulness, didn't we? I tell you, this faithfulness, which is like a rainbow, right? Symbolized by rainbow, is one of the main attributes of God. And therefore, it is part of God, and it is part of the riches of this God. And that is protected by the wall. By the wall. Today, brothers and sisters, this Christ protects all of God's interests. And we, as the enlargement of this Christ, as part of this wall, should be here to protect the interests of God as well. You know, in the Lord's recovery, we bear the Lord's testimony, and we have been given all these sacred and holy truths, the deep and high truths in the Word of God. And those truths, brothers and sisters, need to be protected. I'll tell you today in Christendom, over the centuries in the church with a big C of God, just like in the Old Testament with the city of Jerusalem, the city was what? The gates were broken and the walls were what? The walls are broken and the city gates are burned down. You go and read Nehemiah, for example. You hear that one day this Nehemiah heard the news about the desolation of Jerusalem, mainly described in two ways. It's all about the walls and the gates. The walls were what? Broken down, torn down. No more separation and no more protection. The enemies came in and all kinds of evil, all kinds of defilement has come in and invaded that city. It's no longer holy. And the gates were burned down. And that's when Nehemiah had that sorrowful face before the king. You know the story. So I tell you, the first thing, the main thing in destroying a city is to what? Destroy its walls and to destroy its gates. And so, dear saints, we're here in the Lord's recovery. You know, these 2,000 years, would you not agree with me in general, the Church of God as the city of God has the walls broken all over the place and gates burned down? No more protection, no more separation. The church and the world has become a mixture. They got married. And God's interests were, what should I say, looted, stolen, and even destroyed. Nobody cared for the truth of the word. No one treasured the riches, the divine riches embodied in these truths. They don't care. That is the situation. But no, in the church life, in the Lord's recovery, we must be a wall city. The third thing, it's not mentioned here, that the wall does, is the wall expresses. The wall actually is an expression because it is the outer layer of the city. So you have actually walls of the New Jerusalem as jasper. You know what is jasper? Jasper simply is just God himself. God, and it says these walls are transparent even. So the light of this city shines out through these walls to all around. For what? For the expression of God's glory. So walls are not just for protection and separation. Walls are for actually expression. You know, you're far away, you see, you don't even see people, you see walls. Or even like the tabernacle in the wilderness, you have a screen, right, surrounding that tabernacle, and all you see from afar is that screen, which is a picture of the humanity of Christ, the human living, the perfect man. He is those walls. He is the protection and separation, and he is the expression of this God. So this city has high walls for this reason. Now, I hope as I'm speaking this, you're not just thinking about some physical object there. You're thinking about our present church life. Because our present church life should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. With all its details, with all its attributes. So today, we need to be a walled recovery. A walled church life with these functions. I hope so. Now, here it says, the New Jerusalem is absolutely a separated thing unto God, and it fully protects the interests of God. Therefore, it has to be great and high. And today, all the believers need such a great and high wall for our separation and protection. That should be the case. And that's why in other places they can do this, they can do that. We cannot do those things because of this wall, because we are that wall. Okay, but now we come to the gates. That's the point, the gates. Brothers and sisters, what are the gates? What are gates for? What are gates for? Gates, I would say, is for admission or entrance, right? Without a gate, you cannot go in again. You know, if this city, this beautiful city, had no gates, goodness, that would be terrible. We can appreciate, we can be awed by it, but we cannot be part of it because we have no way of entering in. But God has prepared gates. So number one, it is for admission, for entrance. The last verse we read in chapter 22, it says, blessed are those who wash the robes, right, by the blood of the Lamb, that they may have the privilege to the tree of life. And that is Christ, right? The embodiment of the triune God for our enjoyment and supply. But it doesn't end there. So that they may what? Enter in through the gates into the city. Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to tell you the threefold function of the blood of Jesus. Number one, it wash our robes. Number two, it earn us the right to the tree. And number three, it affords us entrance into this city. Isn't that the full salvation? Isn't that the full salvation? So today, this gate is for admission. But not only so, this gate is for what? Is for communication. Communication. There's coming in, there's going out, It's for traffic. It's for spiritual traffic. And what is this? This simply means fellowship. Fellowship. What is fellowship? What is the divine fellowship? The divine fellowship is simply the flow of the triune God that carry with it all the divine riches for our supply. That is the definition of fellowship. And these gates are for fellowship, are for communication. And it is for what? It is for participation. It's not only for admission, but it is for participation. You know, you enter into the gate, you know where you would come out on the inside? You end up on the street, won't you? And on the street, with the street is the river. And with the river is what? It's the tree, which will lead us eventually to the throne of the Lamb God, or the God Lamb. So this gate opened the way, affords us a way to what? To enter into this communication, this participation of the triune God. So not only locationally, it allows us entrance, but I tell you more than that, it affords us the participation in this divine fellowship and this enjoyment of the triune God. But I would say there's one more thing, it is not mentioned here, that the gate does. This gate is also for dispensation. Admission, communication, and dispensation. It is through this gate that God's dispensing flows through and reaches all men. All men. You know, as we will see, as we know, these gates are pearl, you know, pearl. And you know, we're helped to see where a pearl comes from. A pearl comes from an oyster, which is an animal that is in the depth of the sea, in the death water. So that is a picture of Christ. In the death waters of this world, coming to the death waters in the world, and there comes a little sand that got into this oyster, and that little sand is a what? A picture of the sinner, you and I. Coming into this oyster and irritating this oyster, wounding, as it were, this oyster. And by that wounding, some secretion comes out. This oyster secretes certain element. And what? Over time, that secretion upon this little rock or this little sand results in a beautiful pearl. You see this picture here? That's how a pearl is produced. That's how this gate is produced. That means this gate is produced from the secretion of the triune God, from the dispensation or dispensing of this God. Remember the picture in John chapter 19 when the Lord hung on the cross, was on the cross. That Roman soldier came and what? And pierced his side. Out came what? Blood and water. I tell you, that piercing of the side is the wounding of the oyster. And out came what? A dispensing, a secretion of blood and especially of water. That water is what? Is simply the life-giving secretion out of that oyster to regenerate this little stone, to regenerate this little piece of sand. And by this regeneration, giving this sand the entrance through the into the city, and what? And the participation in all the divine riches. I hope you can see this picture here. So you have here, you have the 12 gates of the city of pearls, which signify the Son's overcoming death and life-imparting resurrection, through which the entrance into the city is gained. Dear saints, no one can enter in to this city except through this unique way, and that is through the death and resurrection of Christ. He is the crucified Christ and the resurrected Christ, our unique entrance into God. Don't we praise Him for this? At this table, every week we come here to remember that. Lord, thank you for being crucified for us. Thank you for being resurrected for us. And by this, our sins have been what? We're redeemed from our sins. And by this, we are regenerated. And by both of these things, the blood and the water, we have a way in. So I'd like to tell you today, what is the gate? The gate is actually the side of the Lord Jesus. That's the gate. That is the gate for us to enter into Him. All right. Now, we come now. How many gates are there in this city? You know, in these old-time cities, they all have few gates. You know, in the Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, they have gates with names. You know, horse gate, fish gate. Huh? He said dung gate. But okay, yeah, all right. Many, many gates. You know, why many gates? Because it makes all these things, the entrance, the admission, the participation, and the dispensation, that much more available. That shows something in God's heart, doesn't it? You know, if it's just one gate, you know, like today, this picture in Mount Everest, there's only one way up. So you have these hundreds of people lining up to go to Mount Everest because there's only one way up. But the New Jerusalem, there's 12 ways in. Because it is God's heart for all men to come in. Am I right, dear saints? The Savior's God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. God wants all men in Him. So He opened 12 gates. That means three gates on each side. Three gates on each side. And I don't want to get too much into the interpretation. You know, the three gates on each side, the three refers obviously to the triune God. The triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The four sides refer to the four living creatures. That what applies to us. That refers to us, to men, to the creatures, from four directions. So you have in Revelation every what? Nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue. See, these four sides are the four directions. Even in the Garden of Eden, in the beginning, you have the river with four branches going to reach the whole earth. Am I right? So it refers to men. So refers to the creatures, and 12 is 3 times 4. That means a multiplication, a blending, a mingling that results in these gates. So if God has not become a man, if divinity was never mingled with humanity, there would be no gates. God would still be God on high. We would still be men here, and we would have no way into God. Absolutely no way. But one day, God became a man. God mingled himself with man. God, the Creator, became a creature. And that mingling, that God-man, that Jesus Christ, is the gate. He became the perfect gate for man to come in and to come through into God. But, brothers and sisters, let's apply it. Yes, the gate is God. You know, this is consistent. You know, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. What did the Lord say in that parable? He says, first of all, he said, I'm the shepherd. He is the shepherd. But he's not just a shepherd. He say what? I am the door. The door. You will come in and out through me. And eventually, it is through me that you will go into the pasture. So he's also the pasture. Christ is all inclusive. He is the shepherd to lead. He is the gate to open. He is the pasture, our destination. Am I right? Isn't this our all-inclusive Christ? But remember, he is the door. The door. You know, even he's the door into the fold. And he's the door out of the fold. Now, I don't have time to get into this. I tell you, even Christ is the gate for Israel to come in to the fold. And Christ is certainly the door for them to get out to find pasture. But in application, dear saints, and that is my burden really for this morning, this gate is not just the individual Christ, the individual Christ, our Savior. But these gates today are 12. These gates today are multiplied. Christ as the gate, just like all the aspects of the New Jerusalem, Christ in all the aspects of the New Jerusalem, must be what? Replicated, multiplied, duplicated in all of us. In other words, today we all should be part of that gate. Just like today we should be part of that wall, today in Christ, as part of Christ, in a oneness with Christ, this crucified and resurrected Christ, we should all be part of this gate. Every one of us, brothers and sisters, should be a little gate. Or I put it this way, every one of us, every Christian, every saint, should be part of a collective gate, a corporate gate. For what? For more of God's elect. Amen. To come in and come through. Amen. To participate. Amen. And enjoy the dispensing. Amen. Okay. I better just jump in. Maybe not stay with the outline because of time also. I just thank the Lord for this ministry, brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord every minute for this dear ministry that has interpreted the word to us in such a accurate way and such a detailed way, such a fine way. One day, Brother Lee said, you know what are these three gates? These three gates exactly matches on each side, match the three parables in Luke 15. I mean, when that was spoken, I mean, lights went on. I don't know about you, lights went on within me. Just I couldn't believe what I heard. Suddenly, everything just opened up. So you have in Luke 15, the three gates. Gate one is the son, the shepherd, seeking the lost sheep. You know, laying aside the 99, going to seek the one lost sheep. the gate two is the woman, which signifies the spirit, the seeking and actually sanctifying spirit, the separating spirit, looking for that lost coin, that one lost coin, sweeping and looking for that coin. And gate three is the Father. You know, it was the Father waiting for and eventually receiving and embracing, kissing, and feeding the prodigal son, the sinner, the wayward sinner. And there, our brother said, those are the gates. That's the triune gate. My goodness, the triune God are gates. The Father is a gate. The Son is a gate. The Spirit is a gate. I mean, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. I just mainly touch the heart of the triune God. The Son seeking the lost sinner. That's the gate. That's the gate. The Spirit sweeping to sanctify, you know, doing a sweeping work inside the sinner to sanctify this lost coin, this lost sinner. You know, coin means something valuable, something precious to this woman. And then finally, a receiving father with such a heart, just daily waiting there, and when he saw the sinner afar, rush and ran. That, you know, we all know that's the only place in the Bible that say God ran. In fact, the Father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I would say, go take a shower. You know, scrub yourself clean before I'll kiss you. No, this Father received this sinner just as he was, just as I am. He came and he kissed him, put a ring on his hand, am I right? Put a robe on his body, put shoes on his feet, all full of meaning, and then eventually killed the fatted calf to feed him. Do you see the heart of the triune God here? A heart of gates. The seeking spirit of the Son. The sanctifying of the Spirit. And the receiving of the Father. Those are the gates. Today, the triune God as gate. Is saying, come in. Come in. Come through me and come into me. And if you ask me, what is your burden? I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is my burden. My burden is the local churches. Would be two things. Number one, be a great and high wall. That's what we should be. But equally burdened, at the same time, associated with the wall are the gates. And that is all the brothers and sisters would be part of these gates. And that every local church would be a little gate. The church in New York City should be a gate church.
Amen.
You know, St. Louis is called the gateway city.
Right.
But I would say New York City should be a gateway city.
Amen.
The church here should be a gate church.
Amen.
And every saint should be a little gate.
That's right.
And part of that collective gate. So that what? So that more would have a chance, a way to come in. And I'm happy to hear that now you have eight halls, and you're going to have the ninth hall in Staten Island, am I right? What is that? That is not just to have a few more halls, that is to have a few more gates.
Amen.
Every borough you need a gate.
That's right.
In fact, in every borough you need several gates.
Amen.
I hope every street there's a gate. You know, in your neighborhood, your home should be a gate.
Right.
You know, we should open our homes. Because our home should be gates.
Amen.
Gates for sinners to come in. Gates for people to be saved.
Amen.
Gates for people to be regenerated through.
Amen.
Gates for people to come into the enjoyment of God.
Amen.
Gates for people to come into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yes, Christ is the gate. He is the unique gate. I'm the door. And you can find in Ephesians chapter 2, it is what? It is through him, in one spirit, we come to the Father. And he said what? Famously, I am the way. There's no other way to the Father except through him. So clearly, Christ is the unique gate and way. But brothers and sisters, today, aren't we one with this Christ? Don't we share the nature of this Christ? And don't we share the heart of this Christ? So today, it is not just that one little Jesus on the earth as a gate. Today, this Jesus has reproduced himself. Multiply himself in all of us. And the church, his multiplication, his fullness, should be a gate. Standing on this earth for all sinners to come in. For all sinners, for all seeking ones, for all saints even. You know, there are some saints, believers, who are still not quite in. They're nominally saved. They know very little. You know, remember the picture in the tabernacle? You have what? Actually, three gates there. Do you know that? In the screen around, there is the first screen. Then in the tabernacle, there is the second screen with what? With five pillars and four entrances. And then between the holiest place and the holy place, there is the third entrance. And that would be where the veil is, with four pillars and three entrances. Very, very rich in meaning. But I'm saying there you have also three entrances, except this is not three in the same place. These are three in different degrees of depths, because the entrance into God is not a once and for all thing. It is a process. It is an ever-deepening process to enter into God, into the holiest place. And for every step of the way, you need more gates. You need more brothers and sisters who can function as entrances, as ways, as they identify with this crucified and resurrected Christ. Oh, today I feel in the Lord's recovery in the USA, because we're here. We need more gates. We need the reality of a gate church life in all the local churches. Don't just be a wall. We need to be walls, but we also need to be gates. We need to be walls with openings. We need to be walls with cracks. We need to be wall with holes, H-O-L-E. We cannot be so whole, W-H-O-L-E. You know, in Message 2, which you don't have, I quoted Brother Lee saying that today the problem is some dear brothers and sisters, they are really spiritual. They are great and high walls, but no one can come through them. They are so separated and sanctified. They are so strong and high, but no one can come through them. When I was 25, the year that I was married, The Lord led me to a crisis point. I have many crises. You know, we all do, in the Lord, in this Christian path. And I met one of my greatest crises at age 25, and that is the Lord came to me. You know, mind you, by that time, I love the Lord. I'm consecrated to the Lord. I serve the Lord. I'm fully in the church life, 100%. May I say 1,000%. But the Lord came to me and spoke to me, said, Minoru, you're spiritual, you're consecrated, you're for my testimony, no problem. But you're not a gate. You're not a gate. How many have come through you into me? How many you have brought in and brought on? And brought into, you have done. And he spoke to me through the story of Abraham, whose name was Abram. Abram means a high and exalted father. High, exalted, but childless, no descendants. No fruit. And so the Lord has to come and change his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham, as you know, means what? A father of the multitude. The multitude. So you see, God's desire is not only you be a spiritual man. God's interest is that many more men can come through you into himself. In other words, the Lord is saying, you may have a little spiritual experience, but by and large, you are not broken. You know, for a wall to have an opening, that means that wall needs to be cracked. That wall needs to be opened up. That wall needs to be broken. You know, I always thought to be broken is some inner life thing, you know. You know, I need to be broken, you know. Inner life, they celebrate this matter of being broken. But being broken what? Being broken for more spirituality. But the Lord said to me, you're spiritual. You're kind of like an exalted and glorified father. But I want the multitude. I want a kingdom. I want more children, more sons. I want the church. I don't want you just to be spiritual. And I don't have the time today to tell you. It was a crisis for me. And it was a very difficult crisis. And it's a crisis that I didn't pass through overnight. In a certain sense, standing here this morning, I'll tell you, the Lord is still doing a work in me to break me further so that even more can come through me. Now, brothers and sisters, and also not only his name got changed, Sarah, whose name was Sarai, also got changed. So sisters, you're involved. Sarai means my princess. My means a selfish princess. Sarah simply means you take away the pronoun, it's just princess. Dear saints, we may be spiritual, but selfishly spiritual. We may have some spiritual attainments, but for individual glorification. But what is the heart of God? What does God want? God wants gates. God himself became a gate. And God has reproduced us all to be gates so that people can come in. Now, I'm done with this burden already, dear saints. I don't care about the outline. I care that my burden has a little bit gotten into you. So here I'm in New York City. The Lord has been doing wonderful things in New York City in recent times. And I fully believe, as one of the major cities in this country, in fact, on the earth, the Lord must have a strong and prevailing testimony in this city. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But this morning, I would like to speak to the saints in New York City that the recovery, the Lord's testimony in this city, apart from all the riches, you have to be two things. Number one, a high wall. A high wall. No doubt about that. But number two, in that wall, there would be plenty of gates. May each one of you, brothers and sisters, become a gate. Amen. May each of your home, Amen. Your family, Amen. Your marriage, Amen. Be a gate. Amen. And may each small group, home group, Amen. Be a gate. Amen. And may each district Amen. Be a gate. Amen. And may each hall Amen. Be a gate. May the whole church in New York City be a fine gate. Amen. Beautiful are your gates, O Jerusalem. Amen. May that be a beautiful gate here in the city, allowing multitude of sinners. There's still plenty of sinners around, of all tongues, of all nation, of all people and tribes. You cannot find more of that than New York City. Amen. Come through in different directions. You know, they need to find their own gate to come in. Certain gates fit these people. Certain gates fit those people. So we need gates all around. Even for different ethnicities, different languages, different kinds of people, all would have a way to come in. What is a song sings? We can sing that song. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Actually, I sang the wrong verse. There's the other verse. Open the life gates that all may come in. Dear brothers and sisters, don't just seek spirituality. Let the Lord do a work of breaking in all of us. We all need this breaking so that we can acquire his heart of a shepherd, of that woman, and of that father. Amen. To receive, to find, seek, and receive all those that he loved and bring them into this city. Amen. Amen. I stop here.
Amen.